This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Saturday morning. I hope you have a cup of coffee, and I want to welcome you personally to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where Chris, every Saturday, we are right here, and we are doing life together, and we're really glad that you've all joined us.
That's right. It's great to be back on the Dr. Linda Mental Show again this Saturday. Great to have you back with us. You can be a part of the program on Facebook, Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker. You can get to know Dr. Linda there. And you can go to Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps, and of course our website, drlindamental.com. And the book, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness, Dr. Linda, you wrote, and it is very specific to this program.
It is. Unfortunately, it's one of my best sellers, which I guess that's a good thing because it's helping people. But that book has sold over 130,000 copies. It's a small booklet. It's really easy to read, and it's got great advice both psychologically and spiritually, and it relates to the topic that we're going to talk about today. It's kind of a intense topic, Chris, but before we get into that, we have to get a bat update.
Oh, do we have to do that, really?
Now, for those of you who haven't been listening, Chris thinks he was bit by a bat. We really don't know.
I don't think I was bitten by a bat, but my wife thinks I was bitten by a bat.
And so because of that, you had to go get a series of rabies shots,
and
correct?
Guess how much that all cost?
Now, you told me this last night in choir, and I just about fell over.
$10,400.
Can you believe that for rabies shots?
Yes.
And you fortunately had insurance.
Yes, covered a lot of it, yeah.
Was it Obamacare?
Was not Obamacare.
Okay. So maybe there's a case for not having Obamacare.
That's right,
there. And then I have one other follow-up question, because we did a show on texting last week on hurting or helping your relationships. So did you text your wife any cute little love messages this week?
No, but it was practical things like, hey, when will you be home?
Oh, you're so boring.
This type of thing.
Okay.
Well, she texted me those things, and then I just said, 6 o'clock.
Oh, gosh. So we're hoping that you're learning more than Chris is on the show as you listen, and that you actually apply what we're talking about in the coming days. Well, Chris, it was just a week ago we saw this horrific story on the news. We heard it and we saw it both, where two journalists were live on TV just doing a morning shoot, and they were gunned down by a former coworker. And his message was, I've been a human powder keg for a while, just waiting to go boom.
Wow.
And then, in more of it, and I really don't want to give a lot of glorification to this guy. He wrote a 23-page manifesto. But the bottom line of that is he says that anger had been steadily building up. And he felt that there was all kinds of discrimination against him. And he claims that this is what motivated him to go out and to shoot somebody. He was fired from his job. It was 2 years later that this act occurred.
And we were shocked for a couple of days. It was hard to process what we saw happen.
This is what happens with these violent shooters. They want to up their fame, and they want to up the people who have done something before. So he was very enamored with the Virginia Tech shooter. He was very enamored with anybody who had gone out and done gun violence. And so he thought he would one-up them and put it on his social media and show it to the world. And then, of course, it went across the broadcast. So it was unbelievable in that we were watching an actual murder take place on television.
It speaks to the title of today's program, Overcoming Feelings of Revenge. Fairly timely program.
Yeah. I read this quote from a local pastor in terms of where this occurred near the Roanoke area in Virginia. And the pastor said this, do you know, you send people into war zones, you send people into dangerous situations and into riots, and you worry that they're going to get hurt. But you send somebody out to do a story on tourism, and how can you ever expect something like this to happen?
You know, someone tried to compare the footage that we saw that happened in Virginia to some of the executions that we've seen take place in the Middle East.
Wow.
And it's hard to compare the two because, like this pastor says, in a war-torn area, sadly enough, you sort of expect that.
Right.
But in a place as serene as Smith Mountain Lake in central Virginia, it's hard to process that.
And clearly the motive here was anger and revenge. This man was filled with anger. The anger had been building for 2 years. It seems like it was very intentional. We don't want to give a lot of attention and glorify this murder, but we do want to talk about this trend that we're seeing, because we're seeing more and more angry people take out their revenge by shooting people. We've had shootings in movie theaters, in schools, and I think very alarming, we're seeing a number of police officers being shot execution style by people who are angry for whatever reasons. We don't really always get the motive behind that, but they just seem to be angry and wanting revenge. So we've seen violence in the workplace for a long time, and a lot of people who are angry, who feel mistreated. And then you couple that with all of the television shows and the video games and all the revenge that's promoted on media, and you just wonder how that's playing on someone's mind.
We idolize the hero in the movie who has been done wrong, and if he's able to go get revenge,
right,
we applaud.
Right. And so we're in some ways promoting this and we're reinforcing it. And then another disturbing trend that we're seeing is how anger is unleashed on social media. Because it can be anonymous and people don't have to be accountable for what they say, they just unleash this anger. I really wonder, in part, how much the culture of violence that is not really talked about when we have these things happen is playing into some of these revenge motives and reinforcing this idea that you've been wronged, you go after that person and you get your revenge.
And you'll mention this later in the show and go into more detail about it, but acting on that revenge doesn't necessarily satisfy that urge.
Right, and we're going to get into that in terms of the dynamic of what does revenge do? Does it really help? Does it get what you want in the end? I think another thing that is not discussed on most of these media shows when we see a shooting like this, nobody talks about the fact that we have taken God out of the culture in so many ways. We've taken God out of schools. We're trying to take him out of the discourse in the larger culture, in movies, in films. And what should we expect if there isn't a moral compass in these movies? We're not having a spiritual framework from which to try to operate. The Christian values of mercy and grace and forgiveness are not being promoted in the culture, and instead we're seeing what we said, the promotion of revenge and anger and do whatever you want when you don't feel good about something.
And you'll hear on the news people prognosticate, where did this person's morals go?
Right.
Well, where do you think they went?
Right. And so that's a real concern. And again, we're not connecting the dots. We're not saying that the more we take God out of the culture, the more violent the culture gets. To me, that's a sort of natural association, but it's not one that a lot of people in the news media or even politicians are willing to talk about. So when we come back from the break, we are going to get into things like, why do people get revenge? Why are they seeking this? And what does it really do? And then later on, we're going to talk about some spiritual solutions to the anger that you might feel listening to this. Because, Chris, we all have revenge feelings.
Well, this is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Thanks for being with us on this Saturday. Today, we're talking about overcoming the feelings of revenge. You can always keep up with Dr. Linda on Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker. We'll be right back.
In my mind, I take revenge, but that's where it stops. I don't physically take revenge in anything at all.
Threats of war, racial tension, divorce, natural disasters. If you are like me, sometimes I just have to turn off the news and remind myself that there is actually good in our world. It's so easy to listen to all the bad news and become worried. Worried about the future, about the Middle East, crime, finances, health, family problems, and, you know, so it goes. But Scripture tells us to take those worried thoughts captive, to be anxious about nothing. That is one of the reasons I wrote Letting Go of Worry. I didn't want worry to grip so many of us and cause us to lose our peace. So the next time you hear bad news, remind yourself to take those anxious thoughts captive. If you need help doing so, letting go of worry is a good resource and will walk you through the steps to living in peace and contentment.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mental, available on her website at drlindamental.com and online.
If someone is so angry that they want to take revenge, I would have them stop and say a prayer. Get down on their knees. Revenge is not for us.
Well, and welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about overcoming feelings of revenge based on the events that have been in the news and the shooting that we had of the two TV crew people. We wanted to talk about what do we do with angry feelings and what does our culture say versus what does the Bible say about taking revenge.
You know, right along with that comment, Ellen chimed in this week on social media and said, when it comes to anger and what to do with it, pray and allow God to work.
That's a really good quote. Now, I'm not so sure if somebody doesn't have God in their life, they're probably not going to pray.
True,
but
yeah.
When we get to the solutions to this, that is going to be one of the key solutions in terms of dealing with your anger.
So why do people seek revenge?
I think one of the most common myths when it comes to revenge, Chris, is that people think if you just let it out, if you do what we call catharsis, just let it vent, that somehow you're going to feel better, when actually the research shows that you actually do worse when you vent your anger.
I saw your notes on this. Why? Why with anger do you do worse when you vent it?
It just revs up the arousal system in the body, so it releases adrenaline and all these hormones, and it makes you feel much more stimulated and aroused, and it actually works you up rather than calms you down. So it does damage to the body. It's not one of the prescriptions that a psychologist would recommend. It doesn't work. I've been doing marital therapy for years. And I don't know if you remember, but we used to give these like foam bats to people. Do you remember this when couples would be so angry with each other? And we'd give one to each priest and we'd say, go at it, and just hit each other with the bat.
Okay.
And then you'll feel better.
Huh.
Or with teenagers, I used to send them home and I would say, you know, get them a punching bag and just let them go downstairs and hit that punching bag or punch his pillow. Mm-hmm. We were telling people this for years because we believed this would be helpful.
You know, there's a Mac and there's a PC. Had a Macintosh growing up. We had this stuffed computer and it was called Smack-a-Mac.
Oh.
So if you got mad at your Macintosh, you could smack them.
The PC?
Doll. Right. Yeah. Same
but
thing.
What the research showed on that is that it actually increased anger and aggression rather than decreased it. So the very thing we were telling people to do was wrong. And guess what? Guess what Scripture says about that? It
don't
doesn't
do it.
Say vent your anger. It says don't vent your anger. Mm. God knew all along that that was not a good solution. One of the other reasons that people do that is that they don't want to feel down and like a victim. And it was real clear in that Virginia shooting that that shooter was feeling like a victim. He was feeling like he was discriminated against in a couple of areas and was victimized.
Does it play into when people say, I've got my rights and you've walked all over my rights?
Yeah,
same
yeah.
Thing?
And then they're going to get revenge. They're going to get at you. And they feel powerful when they do that. So in part, what that kind of revenge does is it makes the person feel very significant. But at the root of that, a lot of times, is grief. You know, they've had some kind of loss or they're not coping well with life. There may be some shame at the root of that. And certainly, when you have shooters like this, you have to wonder about the empathy level of that person. A lot of times, this is associated with personality disorders. Now, I don't know in this particular case if that was the issue. It may not have been at all. But a lot of times, we'll see these people who have very little empathy, and they want to go on a rampage in order to become significant. This is the way they feel like they're getting some kind of power, and they're overcoming their victimization. So it's very serious.
A lot of thought goes into acts of revenge. Does it work?
It really doesn't. And it's for the reasons that we've talked about, that it really does rev up the anger. But the other thing is, what does it solve? So this guy, in this case that we just saw, ended up dead. in his warped thinking, a lot of times these shooters feel like, well, at least my name was known. They'll be playing my videos. They'll be talking about me. And that's been one of the issues in the media that you hear over and over. Should we even be talking about the shooter? Because in some ways we're giving reinforcement to that person and we're feeding into the idea that we're glorifying the person who did that.
I do fear that people would see that and say, oh, he got by with it seemingly.
Yeah, and that speaks to the copycat idea. So have you noticed that we don't, in news, show teen suicides?
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that we don't give a lot of coverage to that is because we don't want people copycatting those acts. I think we have to rethink, and the media is showing this stuff over and over for the sensationalism of it a good idea, because in some ways we're giving that very disturbed person exactly what he or she wants.
How is revenge not necessarily a godly response?
Well, because Scripture is very clear on it not to take it. And if we look at what the Lord says, you know, he says, don't repay evil with evil. And I love the quote. It's a very famous quote by Martin Luther King Jr., where he said, the old law of an eye for an eye leaves everybody blind.
Very true.
Isn't that a great quote?
Yeah.
It really doesn't do anything, which is why Jesus came in the New Testament and talked about a different way to respond to anger and revenge. And his way is not the easiest way, but it is possible with the Holy Spirit in us and helping us to be more like him.
Well, these feelings are experienced by all of us. They boil up.
Yeah.
What happens when we act on them?
Let's kind of backtrack that a little bit. Let's first acknowledge that anger is okay. Okay,
yes.
So anger is a God-given emotion, and the Scripture is really clear. It says, be angry. When I read that, it doesn't say, don't be angry. It says, be angry, but then it puts, don't sin. It's one thing to have a very strong feeling of anger. It isn't a sin to have those angry feelings, but what we do with those angry feelings is really where the sin can come in.
Seems like the sin of pride. We don't want to be told, you're not this, you're not that. That's where we begin to get into trouble.
That's a really good thought, because pride is also there because you are going to get even with that person. And in some ways, what you're saying is, I don't trust the Lord to deal with that person. I'm going to take it in my own hands, and I'm going to have my solution to the problem. And that's what pride is all about, isn't it? It's about acting apart from God and taking things into your own hands. That was the original sin. That's what happened when they ate the fruit. Pride is one of those factors that can be in there when revenge is the motive.
This week, Sue chimed in, and she believes that this problem occurs even in the church. She says, there are evil people who call themselves Christians, and the church is failing in recognizing that.
Wow. I would wonder a little bit if Sue had been hurt by some things that have happened in the
right.
church. And the problem is, you know, Christians are fallible people. And the church is not a perfect place.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people will use the analogy of the church being a hospital, an emergency room.
Right.
And so there's a lot of problems that are in the church because we're all weak and we all have our issues and we're all there, hopefully, to work on those things. You know, I would encourage Sue that even though she probably has seen some evil people in the church, and I know that's true, you and I go to the same church, and our pastor talked this week about the two most evil people he ever dealt with were elders. And we're all just kind of like,
leaders,
whoa.
Yeah.
I would say to Sue about that, those are people where I would really question what their walk with the Lord is, and they are not submitting themselves to the repentance and to the sanctification process of living a life with God where you're trying to emulate Jesus in all that you do. Yes, there are people in the church that hurt us. There are people that can be evil, and the church needs to be one of those places where we talk about when you've been hurt, when you've been wounded, how do you respond? And what is the proper way to respond? Chris, that's what motivated me in part to write that book, We Need to Talk, because I felt like when there was conflict in the church or conflict with another person, that instead of having this hugely angry response to other people, that people could instead go to each other, as Matthew 18 says, when you're angry, when you're upset, when you have an offense, go to that person and try to deal with that person rather than letting it simmer, letting it build up, letting it become some kind of root of bitterness, and then ending up in some kind of explosion, or in the case we're talking about,
right.
some type of revenge.
Well, as Christians, then, how should we respond?
I certainly think that what we're going to do is we're going to go through a biblical response to anger, and we're going to go through about 8 tips that you can do if you're struggling with your anger, if you're somebody who's listening to this and saying, yeah, I have feelings of revenge. I do feel like I want to hurt somebody, or I'm thinking of buying a gun and doing something. I want you to pay real close attention to our last segment, because we are going to go through how do you handle that anger in a biblical way, in a way that is honoring of God, that acknowledges your anger, but helps you get to a point of letting go of it and getting to a point of forgiveness.
Well, this is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Thanks for being with us again this Saturday. Today, overcoming feelings of revenge. You can learn more about this in Dr. Linda's book, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I would tell them to go to church, find a pastor, talk to a friend who they know happens to know Jesus, and hopefully work through that anger and turn it around.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict.
Dr. Linda Mental's latest book, We Need to Talk, is available now in bookstores everywhere. Or visit her online at drlindahelps.com. drlindahelps.com.
If someone is so angry they want revenge, I would probably encourage them to really think about what revenge will actually do and if it will actually accomplish whatever level of justice this person, you know, thinks that they are entitled to.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show this Saturday morning. We're talking about overcoming feelings of revenge. And Chris, while we started with the horrible shooting that happened a week ago, we really want to be clear that we're also talking about what the motive of the heart is. Mm-hmm. Most of our listeners, I would hope all of our listeners, are not going to take a gun and shoot somebody, but certainly we have those feelings of revenge in our hearts. And so what do we do if we have that urge to maybe look at our neighbor's trash can and maybe want to kick it as we go by, or mm-hmm. put something in it, or do something like that that's much more of a daily type of thing, or somebody cuts us off on the road.
Right.
Is that what you were going to think?
Yes.
Traffic is one of those where we really want to take revenge, want to mm-hmm. speed up and want to beat the person. The issue here is the motive of the heart.
Right.
And that's why God says, be angry, but don't sin in that anger.
The Bible has so much to say about the issue of revenge.
Right. So let's start with some of those biblical prescriptions. So in James 1:19, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone, this is not just a few people, this is everyone.
Everyone.
Right? Should be quick to listen. Okay, that's usually my problem. Mm-hmm. Slow to speak and slow to become angry. So the message here is try to slow down and calm yourself, so that you're slow to anger. That's a characteristic of God, by the way, in the Bible, that God is slow to anger.
We do have one mouth, but two ears.
That's right.
Two ears.
Right, and there's a reason God probably had to give us double of that, because we need to listen more than we need to speak at times. The second one is found in Proverbs 14:17, where Scripture talks about examining our heart. So this is where we really do look at the motives. What is it we desire? And it says in Proverbs 14:17, a quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated. Well, those are some pretty strong words.
Wow.
That you're hated if you devise an evil scheme. So look in your heart. Are you holding on to these evil feelings and devising a scheme to hurt someone, even if it's just something very everyday?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you bump that person at the grocery store because they got in your way in the line.
Even when we talk with one another, if we are offended, we want to offend even more.
Yeah, it's got that reinforcing effect.
Mm-hmm.
So another one is to find the lesson in the anger. And I find this hard to do, but I do try to do this whenever I get really angry. Is there something that needs to be corrected? And then observe my feelings. What am I feeling? Can I calm myself down? If my emotions are so high and my body is so physically aroused that I need to calm myself down, that's going to be a key one.
In the notes, we have Psalm 4:4 says, tremble and do not sin.
Yeah.
How often have you gotten so anxious and angry that you physically
you're trembling.
Shake?
That's yeah. And that's mm-hmm. that physical arousal that
right.
you're feeling. And then if you can calm yourself down, it'll take care of the next one, which is don't allow your anger to escalate, which is found in Proverbs 19:19, that you need to calm yourself down, not escalate that anger, and then regroup. It says, fools give vent to their rage. That's where the venting comes in. But the wise bring calm in the end. And then it always helps when you're in the middle of an angry situation to try to get a big picture perspective.
Yes.
And say, is this really worth the relationship that I'm in? Do I really need to be right? Do I really want to take revenge on somebody and hurt the person even more? Or should I be a person who exercises mercy? And it says in Colossians 3:8, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things. The first two are anger and rage.
Wow.
And then surround yourself with people who are exercising self-control. That will really help. If you put yourself with a bunch of people who are angry and they're encouraging you and they're revving you up, that's going to create more anger. So in the end, we need to remember that revenge only brings destruction. Everybody loses. And actually, revenge is not ours to take. Scripture tells us that revenge is the Lord's, and that one day all of the wrongs will be made right. That's a great thing to hold on to when you're feeling like you're not getting the kind of justice that you want, that in the end, no one will get away with anything. We're all accountable to God. So we need to let God do His job, and our job is to forgive. It's to move forward. It's to bring justice in ways that are controlled and are okay, and not to be motivated by revenge. Chris, that's all the time we have for today. So many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Jamie Hall, our man on the street, Derek Battle. And thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation and enjoyable to do. From all of us here at Faith Radio, talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's always better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.